You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I love to sing. I think in an ideal world, I would have been like a pop, you know, a pop star, like a country singer. And I never wanted to do a play. I always thought just acting, just doing a play would be boring. I always wanted to just sing and do musicals. I don't really know how. It's like when you really break it down, it's like if you had talked to your 16-year-old self, like how serious were you about the whole thing? I don't really know. I think it just kind of was like a tumbling effect.
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and coach of Built for the Stage, an online training program that helps actors train like athletes. If you're an actor, you're an athlete, so start training like one. Go to builtforthestage.com and you can fill out a free trial form to see what it's all about. No catch, no gimmicks, just a chance for you to try out 7 days of training with a coach to help you star in this little show called Your Life. That's builtforthestage.com. If you want, go to Instagram. You can follow us at Built for the Stage. You can check us out on Twitter, BFTS Broadway, or you can find us on any podcast platform, including the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check us out on their website, bpn.fm/builtforthestage. Today, as always, we have a really exciting guest on the podcast for you. He's coming from New Jersey at the moment. We'll chat about that in a bit. But usually his home is on the stage of Tina, the Broadway musical. And this is Ross Lekaitz. Hey, Ross.
Hello, hello.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we're on this Squadcast app here, the unofficial sponsor of BPN. I'll keep pitching them. Eventually, I'm going to send him an email asking for some sponsorship money. But for now, we'll just say, hey, Squadcast, thanks so much.
Great clear picture, great clear sound.
Hashtag quarantine vibes for sure. Where are you spending your quarantine at the moment?
Right now, I'm in the city just for the day at my apartment on the Upper West Side. Just went for a run in the park, and it's actually not like crazy busy today.
All right.
But besides that, yeah, we're in Jersey and we started it out in March. We did 6 weeks at my parents' house in Cape Cod until my parents came to that house. And then we left to that house.
We'll make sure to edit that part out in case.
Nope, keep it.
That's hilarious. I'd love to be around the dinner table hearing that family conversation from time to time.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, how did your run go? Where did you run today?
I just did the Reservoir, Jackie O. So it's like 2 miles door to door. Just a quick one. Figured I'd warm up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Fitness is a good way to jumpstart the system for sure. Yeah. We also were cycling recently, I saw.
Yeah, out in Jersey, there's just like all these beautiful winding roads and all these hills, hills that are like deceptively tall. I did a just a 10 miler the other day. And I think I did like 1,000 feet of elevation. It was just brutal.
It was nasty, huh? And you mentioned before we started that you used to play hockey.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. What was it? So in middle school and high school, I moved around a ton. And in middle school I was in Pennsylvania and ice hockey was like the thing to do. So I started that maybe in fourth or fifth grade. And then I played up into, in Kentucky, I was on the varsity team, but there were only 8 teams in Kentucky, 8 high school teams. We won state out of 8 teams. But then when theater came along, it was like, I really had to make the decision. So I quit ice hockey and I quit wrestling all at the same time.
Are your parents in the military?
Nope. My dad just kept getting promoted with his job, transferred. So
got it. So you said theater came along. How did theater come along?
Theater came along. Well, I always did choir. I always sang in choir. But theater came along when I saw Children of Eden at my high school. I think I was a freshman, and it was a mixture of. I was at an all boys Catholic high school, so it was a mixture of that looks fun and also, where did all these girls come from and how can I meet all these girls?
Mine was a similar story. In seventh grade, my girlfriend at the time in middle school wanted me to do the school play with her. So that's how I ended up doing all
that. You got suckered in.
I got suckered in for sure. All right, very cool. So we talked a little bit about fitness, running, cycling, hockey. You joined the Built for the Stage fam a little while ago, and I wanted to just chat about like how you like to physically prepare, either for a role or just how fitness has been involved with your time on the stage and how it's helped you.
I mean, for Tina, I don't physically do much. It's more like an acting role, which is great. It's the first time I've been cast just to not sing high B flats. You know, before I just started doing like CrossFit-ish type workouts, I would just run. So I've always had like the lung capacity for, you know, big, like I do a ton of symphony concerts and stuff too. And some of the stuff that some of these conductors all over the world like expect of you is like kind of insane. So having the lung capacity is something that I always try and work on. That's like Danny Burstein, who was just on the news talking about his COVID recovery. And he's like, I really think I recovered so quickly because my vocal training, like I was able to bring in so much more oxygen than the average person.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, just, you know, and just staying in shape is like, you have to do it.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think we've driven that point home here on Built for Stage podcast and all podcasts, but when it comes down to it, it should be as simple as that fitness is a part of your job as an actor. And like we say, as an athlete, cause you are, there's a lot of physically demanding things that can be asked of you. It is as simple as that. How's it been at home or just like trying to keep fitness up during the time of quarantine and making that adjustment?
Yeah. Like the first month, I think I joined with you maybe a month into the shutdown, and we were on Cape Cod, and it felt like maybe this is a temporary thing. Let's bake bread. Let's eat brownies. And I'm like completely dairy free, but month one of quarantine, I was like, I'm going to eat dairy. Just trying to figure out how to work out. I was like, I can do this on my own. I can do this. And I've been working out in the gym at Equinox with a fellow Built for the Stager, James Brown, JB3. And I realized by myself, I was like, holy crap, I don't know how to do any of this. I've just been relying on him. So joining the app, it was finally like, okay, I know how to do the exercises. Just tell me what exercises to do for how long. And then that structure has been the thing that's, you know, I gained like 10 pounds off the bat, and I was like, oh my God, I got to get back in shape. What am I doing?
So yeah.
The app, it kicks your butt.
Cool. All right. Well, that's good to hear on my end for sure. Yeah. So the journey to your Broadway debut. So I slated in the beginning when we introed Ross that he's currently in Tina on Broadway, but you made your debut in Kinky Boots on Broadway. Then you later went on to Frozen in the ensemble and understudied Hans, and now you're here on Tina. A lot of the times on the podcast, I like to just get the story of getting to that debut and the willingness from the guests to share as little or as much as they'd like about the ups and downs of the journey. Because a lot of the times we can find parallels in the journey of a career in theater with the journey of fitness. As it's not just, you know, the straight shot or the rocket ship to success.
Right.
There's a lot of ups and downs. So tell us just some key moments that, you know, come to mind during your story of getting to your debut in Kinky Boots.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I first moved to the city, you know, I guess I've been lucky the entire time I've been here because I've been consistently working. Maybe in 2010, I took like a little pause. But then I did the West Side Story First National, and that's like when things started rolling. I was out there for like 13 months playing Tony. That was like one of the best experiences. And then I did a ton of
What's your favorite song to sing in West Side Story? Which one?
I really like singing Something's Coming, but most people ask me to sing Maria. But Something's Coming is the stuff, baby.
All right, sorry to interrupt.
No. Yeah, then I came back. I started doing regional work. And then the opportunity came to audition for Kinky Boots. And they had already, I guess they had already, well, I wasn't right for the role of Charlie, right? Like I wasn't the exact type for it. I could sing it, but I wasn't the right type for it. So then I went on tour and understudied the role, and I was out there for 6 months, and I realized I can't be out here anymore. Tour when I was 27 or 28 was great, but tour when I'm 30 and I'm like about to propose to my girlfriend and it didn't seem worth it to be out on the road, but it did. It obviously was worth it because I made the connections with, some of the music directors that I've worked with, like Stephen Aremus and Brian Usifer. They did Kinky Boots, and then they did Frozen, and they did Frozen 2, the movie. I got to sing on that. Like it's those connections that you make along the way that you can't take for granted. So after the tour, I came back, I did a regional job, and I got lucky, and Jake Odemark was in Kinky Boots and he was leaving. And they just called me and were like, "Hey, you did this role. We only have like that pocket of Kinky Boots family was so small. It wasn't like Wicked where you can just be like, oh, there's 13 dudes that have played the Fiero cover, bring them in. You know, there was like, it was me. So they called me up and, you know, to make your debut without like auditioning. I mean, you auditioned for the tour, but I remember I was moving my car and my agent called me and I was like, holy shit. If I could say that, it's like, will you accept it? I'm of course I'll like, what are you talking about? So yeah, Kinky Boots was a dream. You know, it's so funny. Like you walk by these stage doors and you're like, man, what's it going to be like to be on Broadway? It's the exact same thing as doing any other show. You're just closer to home. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I left Kinky Boots to do Frozen. We went to Denver. Then we did the lab. Then we went to Denver for the summer. Then we came here and I was in it for a year and a half. And then I left last summer to go start up Tina.
Let's go back to you saying you...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You were walking by stage doors and wondering what it'd be like to be on Broadway, and it's the same. Because I like to bring that up because people, performers, or just humans in general, you put so much worth into a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Whether that's a house, a car, a spouse, a job, things like that. You make your debut and let's say, you know, how long were you on Broadway with Kinky Boots? How long were you?
Like a year and a half.
Okay, a year and a half. So you're in, let's say, a year into it, 6 months to go still. What is Broadway then to you? You know, like now everyone hear what I'm saying. It's an amazing accomplishment and it's an amazing platform. And Broadway, you know, makes our community nationally. But a lot of the time we talk mental health here and just keeping things in perspective. And I want this conversation for those of you that are chasing that Broadway dream to kind of just hear, you know, what Ross is saying a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, like your family thinks like, oh, you're just on stage for a living. It must be so exciting all the time. Yes, it's different than working in an office, but you know, when you're doing a long successful run, it's a job. Like you're going to do a job. It's not tour life. You know, there's some people that just show up and do the show and just leave, and they make it just work. I like to not do that. I'm kind of like the class clown, I guess. We were just on a Tina Zoom actually, and people were all saying how they find it charming, but also terrifying that words just fall right out of my mouth. Like I can't keep anything in.
Oh wow!
It's like the only job, you know, it's the only industry that I could get away with nothing, not inappropriate. Just like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you were late today, weren't you? It's like, say that. I'm like, I don't know. I just had to say it.
So you're not afraid to call somebody out.
I'm not afraid to call people out. And it's okay if people call me out. I think I'm pretty good at taking it. I'm the youngest of four boys, so I'm used to getting.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
Hand it to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I love that people. I actually was never the type of kid that was like, oh, I can't wait to be on Broadway. I'm still not like really a theatery person. Like, I don't really follow it that much. And if you gave me a music history test, I would fail it immediately. I just know that I like to do it and I like to watch it. And more and more, I'm thinking I like to watch it more than do it. Mm.
So go back a little. Now I'm even more curious. Go back to like your first gig as a professional. Did you study theater in college?
Yeah, I went to Point Park University.
Okay, so you go to Point Park, very close to my hometown of Youngstown, Ohio.
Oh yeah,
in Pittsburgh, there.
Youngstown.
Yeah, we have a lot of Point Park alum at Bilford Stage. Okay, so if you're not, I can relate to a lot from what you're saying. How did you find yourself going to school for theater then? If you were just kind of, I don't want to say indifferent, but
I think I didn't have any other passion in high school. Like I wasn't like, oh, I want to be a lawyer or oh, I want to be a pilot. Either of those two things would have made my dad really happy because he ran UPS. So I could have, it would have been a great connection for me to be a pilot for the airline. I don't know. It was just something that I knew I was good at, you know, like I love to sing. I think in an ideal world, I would have been like a pop, you know, a pop star, like a country singer. But, and I never wanted to do a play. I always thought just acting, just doing a play would be boring. I always wanted to just sing and do musicals. I don't really know how. It's like when you really break it down, it's like if you had talked to your 16-year-old self, like how serious were you about the whole thing? I don't really know. I think it just kind of was like a tumbling effect.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be a professional hockey player. I wasn't going to be a professional wrestler. You know,
it was either go to school for general education your first year or two or go for theater.
Right. So I just went to theater and I got scholarships. So it's like, you should probably do it. And
yeah.
And the weird thing is, which I always ask my mom and she never really has a good answer for it, is I only applied to one school. I actually went to Emerson College in Boston first. And I only applied to Emerson. It was like kind of risky and I don't really know why I did that. But I got in, I went there and then I changed my mind, went to Point Park. But yeah, I guess it really was just like a kind of a tumbling effect. I'm just going to keep doing this because it's fun and I guess not easy, maybe like in a way, like,
came naturally to you.
Yes, it's not easy. Obviously, it's a challenging career, and it can be so terrible at times. But
yeah, it's a part of your DNA, though.
Yep.
Okay, so you're in Tina. I saw Tina. I saw you in the show. The show is spectacular.
How'd you like that wig? My little mullety wig.
I think you should, you know, grow it out for real and capitalize your normal. Man, it's a spectacular show. And yeah, what does the role of Erwin Bach mean to you? Or like, what have you learned along the journey? Or like, just tell us a little bit about your Tina experience.
Yeah. I've never played like a real person. So, and knowing that they're going to come see the show is like, all right, you do your homework. Like we got lucky. We had a lot of material. Like we had some audio tapes of interviews with him that, you know, were only for us to hear, and transcripts of conversations that he's had. So he came to see the show, and he really is like this, like, guardian, like, of her, of Tina. He's like the most sweet person, and he's always just kind of around. She's never out of sight. He always has like a hand on her shoulder or something. So I didn't really get to talk to him because, you know, it was like the same night that Oprah was there. Everybody was backstage. I was like, I just want to talk to him. But he just looked at me, gave me a little thumbs up. You know, I was like, oh, good, I did it. that character only comes into the show in Act Two, and kind of like midway through Act Two. So it's kind of every scene I do, I'm running it, like literally running into the scene. At first I would do like, you know, try and do like 50 pushups in the wing. And then I get yelled at, like people are like, you can't be like in the wing just doing pushups in like a suit and your wig's getting all messed up and people are going to trip on you. So I had to figure out different ways to come in seeming winded. And, but there's no comparison to what Adrian's doing at night. It's just like, it really is insane. You know, like you're like, oh, I'll never, you're always like, I'll never get over the opening number of blah, blah, blah. But then like, or I'll never get over watching Casey Levy sing Let It Go. But then like, you know, on a Saturday matinee, you're like, yeah, of course she's singing it. Like, we got to do the show. But I'm in the wing every night, like at the end of the show, watching Adrian going, how the hell are you doing this? She's just a beast. I don't even know how she trains. I don't even know if it's possible to train while doing the show.
Yeah, it is beyond physically demanding for sure. Cool, Ross. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Some of the points that we came across was like so eye-opening to how life just takes us sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And I think we all can relate to that right now, that life is just taking us. And now it's just like, how will you respond? You know, what work will you put in? What people will you love? And we'll just go from there. So,
yep.
So happy and excited for your success. Can't wait for you guys to get back up on the stage.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. That'll do it with Ross Lekaitz from Tina the Musical. Thank you so much again for tuning in to Built for the Stage podcast. If you liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, rate the podcast, and check us out on Instagram at Built for the Stage. You can check out Ross on his Instagram at Ross Lekaitz. We're just excited for you guys to be here and be a part of the Built for the Stage family. If you want to officially become a part of the Built for the Stage family, make sure to go to the website, builtforthestage.com, and you can try out that free trial. Thanks again to Broadway Podcast Network for producing the podcast. We hope you all stay safe, stay well. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.